99.9 FM W260C Beaver Scene and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Matt Piper in Manchester, New Hampshire, where for a second week in a row, Donald Trump wins big. Last week in the Iowa caucus, this week in the New Hampshire primary.
This is a fantastic state. This is a great, great state.
Then he went after his rival, Nikki Haley.
This is not your typical victory speech, but let's not have somebody take a victory when she had a very bad night. She had a very bad night.
It's after Haley said this.
Today we got close to half of the vote. We still have a ways to go, but we keep moving up.
Trump was strong across many demographic groups. He won men and women and white and non-whites and across age groups. He did not win every demo, though. Haley won college graduates and those with high incomes. I'm Matt Piper in Manchester, New Hampshire. Now with more CBS News, here's Deborah Rodriguez.
President Biden, who wasn't on the ballot in New Hampshire, rallied supporters at an abortion rights event in Virginia.
Are you ready to defend democracy? Are you ready to protect our freedoms? And are you ready to win this election?
He was interrupted more than a dozen times by anti-war protesters, angry over the situation in Gaza. A deadly transport plane crash along the Russia-Ukraine border today.
Phone footage captured the moments after the crash. A fireball rises behind the tree line, then a thick pillar of smoke. Russia's news agency says the plane was carrying 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war to the border for a prisoner exchange. The governor of the province has just confirmed there were no survivors. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
An upstate New York man who shot and killed a 20-year-old woman after her boyfriend mistakenly drove into his driveway has been convicted of second-degree murder. Defense attorney Arthur Frost on his client's claim the fatal shot was accidental.
You know he didn't fire. He didn't shoot her on purpose.
Kevin Monahan faces 25 years to life. We're saying so long to an old friend here at CBS News. Charles Osgood has died. He hosted CBS Sunday Morning on TV from 1994 to 2016.
I can't think of anything that I could have done for a living that gave me as much sense of satisfaction.
He brought us the Osgood file on the radio every day.
In 1942, milk was delivered in bottles.
His family says Charlie died from dementia. He was 91.
Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers voted to amend a bill to ban abortion after 14 weeks on Tuesday. The amendment allowed exceptions for rape and incest and requires doctors to make reasonable efforts to preserve the life of a fetus during a medical emergency. The bill got a public hearing on Monday where both Democrats and pro-life activists railed against the bill. Governor Evers has said that he would not sign the bill if it made it to his desk. President Biden will be back in town on Thursday. He plans to talk about his administration's efforts to rebuild the nation's infrastructure in Superior. Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnik Bridge connecting Superior to Duluth, thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The president's visit comes after Vice President Kamala Harris visited the Waukesha area on Monday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks need a coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After firing their head coach, Adrian Griffin, just 43 games into the season, the Milwaukee Bucks are looking for his replacement. It's the third shortest tenure in the history of the NBA. Analyst Tony Smith.
You know, you got to look at what the Bucks represent. They think they're a championship caliber team, and they're not going to stand for anything less than that. So when they look out on the floor, yeah, the record is 30-13. They're second in the East, but the looks of the team did not fit what management really wanted.
Baseball baseball. The Brewers signed Phillies first baseman Rhys Hoskins to a two-year deal worth $34 million with a one-year option. Hoskins sat out last year after suffering a torn ACL in spring training. College basketball last night, the Badgers held on to beat the Gophers 61-59. The Badgers' A.J. Storr drawing a technical for hanging on the rim after a dunk shot.
I didn't know hanging on the rim and trying to dunk the ball was a Class B technical. I've never been in that position myself. I can't hang on the rim, let alone try to dunk it.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We have some patchy, dense fog out there this morning, and there could be some frost on the roads too, especially in places further north where temperatures are at or even a little below the freezing mark. Cloudy today, scattered rain likely with patchy fog, our high 36. Tonight, foggy with showers, 33. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers at a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I wish I was crazy. Crazy people don't worry about any of this stuff. Don't you see crazy people? They enjoy their lives so much more than we do. There's a guy in my neighborhood, spray paints his car all these different colors, fills the inside up with empty Coke bottles. He drives in there, he climbs in there and drives around. His head looks like a hairy prize inside a gumball machine. What's on his calendar? I bet it's a lot more fun than yours. You wake up in the morning, oh, I gotta go to the bank. He's like, I need more Coke bottles for my rocket ship. Busy, busy day. I get those guys, I really do, because they basically look around at life and they're like, all right, look, life is a game. I obviously have no chance of winning this game. I quit. You get dressed up and go to work every day? I put peanut butter on my lips and talk to squirrels. When I was younger, I used to see the crazy guy outside in an open robe and slippers yelling at the sky, you know? I used to think, how the hell does that happen? Now I'm like, I can see it. Because right? I walk around my own place that way. The only difference between us, I haven't gone outside yet. And I think we're all just three really bad days in a row from taking it outside. Three miserable days. Lose your lover, lose your money. Third day wouldn't even take much. Just a little deodorant on the outside of your shirt. Ba-boom!
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space.
WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. I want to thank you for joining us here this morning.
Up on the roof.
We got some rain on tap today. Highs near 37. Who would have thunk it when it was minus 11 the other day? Cloudy, lows around 34 tonight, 38 the high tomorrow with rain likely. And get this, next week in the mid-40s. Yikes. Right now it's cloudy and 35 degrees. And our second candidate for the 4th District Automatic District, Dave Mack, is here. And I want to thank you for coming in, schlepping in on this beautiful day today. Actually, it's better because yesterday my guest had to slide on her belly and come in the building because it was so slippery, even with salt on the sidewalk yesterday. I was in front of your house yesterday, pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty slick. I was not what I was expecting when I left the house, but I guess there were some issues there with buses and all that other stuff. I didn't get my newspaper, I'm sure.
You and the newspaper?
Yeah. But I'm sure it's because the roads were as bad as they were. And I went out a little bit later. I think I went out about 9:30, and it was a little slick, but not as bad, I guess, as what it was earlier.
Now, you're running for the 4th Aldermanic District. Now, you were an alderman once before. Which district were you an alderman?
I was the alderman of the 5th District. I didn't move. The district moved.
Can I ask you something? What is with this redistricting stuff across this state? I don't see anybody else having this problem. Every time a party gets into office, they want to redistrict. Why do we do that? What's the purpose of redistricting, moving things around?
Well, every 10 years, the lines need to be drawn, and they're based on population.
Okay.
Population shift. You know, if the city's population shrinks, all the districts have to be an equal size, and so that's why they change at the local level for aldermanic districts. They're not based on partisan politics or anything like that. They're based simply on making sure that each district is equally divided, so that you don't have one district that has 10,000 people in it and the other district has 300 people in it. It has to be equally divided. And so because of shifting populations and things like that, sometimes the boundaries move. When I got on the city council in 2011, my district went all the way to High Street. And then a year later, it was time to redistrict, and that line moved to the north, and the 4th district came a little farther north. My district went less south than it had. And then I found out a couple of years ago that all of a sudden I was in the 4th district, and the 4th district's gone way up, you know, past School Street. And so it's kind of nice, though, because I have, you know, my neighborhood and extension, but I keep the zoo and Lakeview Park.
And me.
And Don Rosen. three treasures within the 4th district, if I so win. I always enjoyed being the alderman that had the zoo in my district, had Lakeview Park in my district. The parade kicks off in my district, and so it's... If I win, it will be an exciting 2 years to get back into it and get more involved in the daily aspects of city government. And I have never left the community. I've always maintained my presence within the cultural aspects. You know, I've been involved with the 4th Fest Board since 2011 when I got off the city council. I joined the 4th Fest Board, and so every parade, as you know, because you have a front row seat for the parade every year, you know, I'm zipping up and down the parade route.
In your golf cart.
Yeah, in my golf cart. Had a chance to serve as the 4th Fest Board President for 2 years, which under my leadership, we were able to accomplish quite a bit. We rebranded. We did a couple other just neat things, introduced some new fundraisers. And so I've enjoyed being on that board. You know, in the past, I've been involved with the Boy Scouts, with Leadership Racine, which I'm still involved with. For a long time, I was involved in the Indian Summer Festival up in Milwaukee, which was a cultural festival.
Stop right there. Now, you do have a Native American background, right?
Right. My grandfather was born on the White Earth Indian Reservation. And I was thinking about this the other day. I never had a chance to meet him. He died of lung cancer. But here was a man that came off the reservation looking for better opportunities for himself. Met my grandmother here. He had family in the Racine and Kenosha area, so it was a logical place for him to settle. Got a job working in a foundry. And I wonder what he would think, you know, that his grandson was on our city council and was able to achieve, you know, some nominal success.
Now, back up to the redistricting. Do the populations shift that much in Racine?
Well, I don't know what the maps look like or what the districts look like beforehand. There's a couple other variations that they have to take into account. Because I remember when we went through the process after I first got on the council, and there were, you had to balance the county districts also. They all have to fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. And so there were several different variables that played into it, and each district had to fit into this larger district.
Now, we're going to go over some of your resume here because we have the full hour to talk to you. Now, you were also, well, let me go through the beginning. Are you from here originally, Racine?
I was born and raised in Racine until I was about 9 or 10. Went to Jurisdid Agerholm School, K through 3. Mm-hmm. Then my parents put me at Sacred Heart for a year. And then they bought a little hobby farm in the town of Summers, across from Pets, adjacent to Hawthorne Hollow. And so I grew up on this little hobby farm, had the run of 60 acres as a youngster, would just, you know, never was inside the house, would leave the house in the morning, would head out to the woods and had these adventures, you know, just exploring. And then when I took the job in Racine County in 1990, I was looking for a house either in Kenosha on the north side or in Racine. And we found a beautiful Cream City brick house on the north side of the city of Racine. And we've been here for 34 years.
So you're kind of a local yokel.
Yeah. Basically born and raised. And then my family was still here. My grandmother lived on the north side. So Racine has always been home.
So a hobby farm, that would be like somebody, it's not a real farm, but somebody who wants to grow a couple of vegetables and...
My dad had 7.5 acres. Oh, there was four acres in alfalfa, and he had a couple horses. And then over the years, he had a couple goats. He had some chickens at times. I mean, nothing really big, but summers, three times a year, we were cutting and baling hay. And
I don't picture you as Farmer Gray out there.
Yeah, not one of my favorite times of the year. Alfalfa bales are very heavy. They're very scratchy. You know, your arms are all scratched up by the end of the day because, you know, these things are heavy and scratchy.
Well, you know, when I grew up on Long Island, back in the 40s and 50s and 30s, it was all farmland out there on Long Island. And when I was growing up as a kid there, there was one farm left in Nassau County. It was in Belmore. And my father was good friends with Guido Foglia, who owned the farm. And we used to go down there just around the harvest when they, whatever was growing there, I'm not even quite sure what was growing, was taller than I was, so it must have been really big. And they used to have this giant thing for their entire family, these tables outside set up, and they used to harvest whatever they would, and they used to cook it right there. Plus, they didn't have animals there. It was an animal farm, but it was the last farm. It's gone now. Hmm. It's housing now. But I remember going to that farm, and I said, gee, that's interesting. A farm right here in... Not far from where I live. Well, it's gone now. They don't have those anymore. But you were, so you went to school. What did you do when you came out of high school?
Well, I went to Carthage College, and it took me 3.5 years to go through there because of class overloads and taking summer school. And so I started out as a political science major. Wanted to go to law school. At least that's what I thought I did wanted to do. And then I had my political science classes all in by my start of my junior year. Instead of taking electives, I figured out at Carthage that there were classes within my major that counted towards electives. So while all my buddies were being steered to math classes and history classes and all that, I'm strategically looking at, okay, what can I get double credit for?
Hold it right there. We're talking to Dave Mack, Aldermanic, 4th District Aldermanic candidate for your vote. We'll talk to more about Dave. We got him in college now. He didn't leave yet. He's still there. 719 WRJ on a Civic Media Station. Hometown Radio. Refresh. Don't move.
Listening to news, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
A psychological thriller that unravels into a clever, calculated mystery. Dial M for Murder.
Continues this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild.
Tony marries Margot for her money and is named heir of her estate. He creates the perfect crime by blackmailing an old acquaintance to murder her. When the would-be killer ends up dead by Margot's hand, Tony works to frame his wife as the plot weaves a tangled web full of deception and danger.
Call the box office at 633-4218 or visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
At Hospice Alliance, not all volunteers work directly with our patients. Some help with special projects, office work, mailings, check-in phone calls, and much more. Anything you want to do, Hospice Alliance has a volunteer role for you. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. If you'd like to learn more about Hospice Alliance's services or assisting in our mission, visit hospicealliance.org.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by.
The S.C. Johnson Holden Rondale Theater at the 1964 World's Fair. And I was at it at the 1964 World's Fair. I went in to see the movie they were showing in there. All these places showed movies, like the General Motors Pavilion had a thing called Futurama. I remember you sat in this little thing that took you on a ride through the future. It was, if you see it today, it was kind of really hokey because they had little models set up. You just went through where the models were, and they were like things flying through the air on strings. It was really hokey.
Kind of like going through some of the exhibits at Disney World where they were envisioning the future and the people mover, and it's so 1960-ish.
Well, I told this story on the air yesterday. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I went to the World's Fair so many times, and one time my parents were with us, and they went to the restroom, and my brother and I were looking at the phone booths they had there, touchtone phones, push buttons. And nobody had ever seen those before. They were debuted at the World's Fair. AT&T had them all over. Actually, it wasn't called AT&T. It was called the Bell System back then. Bell System had them all set up. And my dad came and I said, can I make a phone call on those, Dad? Come on, can I call Glenn? Can I call somebody? And he said, don't worry about it. You're never going to see those phones. They're just here at the World's Fair. They will never have them in our homes. Of course, my father, a great seer of the future, said, he let us play with it, but he wouldn't let us make a phone call on it. But
well, growing up, I remember you had to pay extra for touchtone.
Yes.
And so then and then people were able to buy their own phones instead of leasing them. So I bought a touchtone phone, but it had a little switch on the back that it was either pulse or touchtone. And because we didn't pay for the touchtone service, it was on pulse. So we got to push the buttons, but it was type of thing. But we were talking about college, and so yeah. I went to Carthage. I get my political science major in by my junior year. All my buddies now are starting to take classes in their major. What do? So I declare myself a business major so I can take classes with my buddies. And then I realize, oh, there's some classes within my business major that count towards my the basics that I needed. For example, I needed two math classes. Well, accounting one and two counted towards those math classes. So here I am. I'm getting all those basics out of the way, core classes that you're supposed to take your freshman and sophomore year, and I'm getting them done through the classes. So by the end of my senior year, I now have a political science major, I have a business major, and one of the professors there, who happened to be a county board supervisor in Racine, Gunderson, it was his name, he says, David, if you take one more class, the combination of your business class and your political science becomes public management. So I graduated in 3.5 years with three majors, political science, business administration, and public management. So I graduate from college, and I'm at an event in Kenosha. It's June of 1988. And I'm talking to Tommy Thompson, and he was in a good mood. And he said, Dave, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm looking for a job, Governor. And he says, well, I'll give you a job. And I kind of chuckled. And the next day, I get a phone call from his scheduling secretary, and we have a couple positions available. And finally, they settled on one that was based out of Waukesha. And I ended up spending a lot of time in Madison, too, with it. But it was working with a fledgling new program called the Emergency Planning Community and Right to Know Act, EPCRA for short. And so I worked for the state for 1.5 years helping to implement that brand new program. I wrote the first comprehensive planning guidance for
it. Was this emergency management?
This was emergency management, but working with one niche program. Mm. And in 1990... the director in Racine suddenly resigned, and I applied for the job. I was told, over 20 applicants, and I ended up beating them out. I was 23, 24 years old at the time, probably the youngest department head that the county had, and I built a program that garnered state and national recognition over the years.
So, and that's how you got started in...
That's how I got started.
In government.
Yep.
Tommy Thompson, huh?
Tommy Thompson.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. So,
which would explain why, when I used to do political commentary here on WRGN,
yes. Yeah.
Who did we have call in? Yeah. Tommy Thompson would call in, and you know, I'd get a hold of him and say, Tommy, would you come on the program on election night? He says, Dave... That'd be great.
I have a picture with him at Salmonorama. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, here's my Tommy Thompson story. So we're broadcasting from a train, a new Amtrak route. And so we actually brought the radio station on there to broadcast. And I had all the equipment set up on this table where we were sitting. And I get up for a second, and the woman is sitting down there. And I said, I need to sit down there. Can you please get up? He said, well, that's my wife, and she's not feeling well now. I just told Tommy, the governor's wife, to get up so I could sit down. I said, well, it just moves over just a little bit just so I can sit down in front of the equipment. But he was, there's a picture of him talking to me when I'm sitting down at that table and telling his wife to get up. I mean, it's one of those moments that maybe I should have just let it go.
My daughter and I were on the front page of the Journal Times years ago. He brought county government on the road, or state government on the road, and he would do this every year, pick a different part of the state. And so I'm holding my daughter, and I'm standing there, and he's looking at me, and boom, it hit the front page of the paper.
Ah, look at you.
So now I'm, like, worried because I'm working for County Executive Dennis Cornwell.
Oh, yeah, Cornwell, yeah.
And I'm like, he's going to be upset with me. His picture should be on the front page of the paper, not mine.
Hold on one second. Keep it right there. We're talking to David Mack. He is the candidate for the 4th Aldermanic District. We're going to get his thoughts on services, crime, homeless, a whole bunch of topics coming up here at WRJN Radio. 729, Hometown Radio Refreshed. This is your civic media station, and we're seeing WRJN Radio.
Talk and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN. Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Rural livability. In other words, how attractive is your rural community? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. It was a day-long conversation yesterday for the Wisconsin Ag Outlook Forum. Dr. Amanda Weinstein is the Director of Research, Knowledge, and Evolution at the Center on Rural Innovation. All they do is look at rural communities and how attractive they are to potential citizens, businesses, and entrepreneurs. Dr. Weinstein says you need to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah, it's exciting in the beginning, but it really takes continued investment. And it also, frankly, it takes dollars of investment. We've seen a lot of rural areas fail to get investment in infrastructure, whether it's broadband, whether it's roads, and the same is true with improving their community, right? So I think a lot of policymakers think, oh, I'll just give you, you know, this earmark and we'll be done with it and I won't have to hear from you again. And that's simply not true. They need to be given continued investment so they can sustain this path forward of investing in their community.
Dr. Amanda Weinstein, she was one of the guest speakers yesterday during the Wisconsin Ag Outlook Forum, focused in on rural livability. She said the other challenge about trying to make your rural community attractive to not only future citizens, businesses, and entrepreneurs is that every community is just a little bit different with a different set of assets they have to work with.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow cover fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
What does supporting rural communities look like? At Compere Financial, we believe it starts with giving back. That's why we are here, with grants that invest in the communities we serve to help beginning farmers, fund agricultural education, support first responders, stimulate economic growth, and partner with causes that matter to our clients. Visit Compere.com to learn more. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
And just a couple quick reminders as far as deadlines. Don't forget, January 31st is the application deadline if you'd like to become the next Alice in Dairyland. You can find a job description and details on how to submit your resume online, aliceindairyland.com. And if your farm or home is getting ready to celebrate a 100 or 150-year anniversary in 2024, don't forget the Wisconsin State Fair wants to know about it. Application deadline for Century Sesquicentennial Farms and Homes, March 1st. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10, on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
We have some patchy, dense fog out there this morning, and there could be some frost on the roads, too, especially in places further north where temperatures are at or even a little below the freezing mark. Cloudy today, scattered rain likely with patchy fog, our high 36. Tonight, foggy with showers, 33. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers and a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN 1400 AM 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike.
7:35 at WRGN Radio. Quick, some news headlines. See, the story is that Stuart J. Waddles, our news director, is watching in the news center throughout the day for us here at WRGN. Two apartments in Racine are where members of the Sheriff's Metro Drug Unit served some warrants this week. Local police, along with federal agencies, assisted in the drug bust at two units of the Wagon Lofts apartments on 8th Street yesterday. The statement says a significant amount of drugs were found, along with guns and cash. Several men were taken into custody on various charges related to drug trafficking and possession. There's no update on the search for a person that fired shots near a major Mount Pleasant shopping center. It was about 4 yesterday when police in the village got a call about a shooting near the Dollar Tree near JCPenney and the shops at Prairie Ridge. A suspect vehicle was being sought by police, with a social media statement from investigators saying there was no danger to the area. They're working on learning more about what happened. Regency Mall in Racine is set to undergo a significant transformation in the coming days. Last week, the city council approved a conditional use permit for its redevelopment, with crews starting in February to tear down the eastern part of the structure. A Woodman's and 300 apartments are coming to that site. The land is expected to be cleared by midsummer, with a 2025 opening date for the new grocery store. An attempt was made yesterday to get all kids into school in Racine, but the ice impacted that plan. Some Racine parents are expressing frustration after the school bus failed to get their kids to class. The bus company ended up having to return some kids to the bus stop due to the hazardous road conditions. Some parents didn't know their kids were dropped off early. While First Student acknowledges that its communication early in the day could have been improved. The bus business cites unsafe roads as the reason for not getting all the kids to school. And finally, graduates of area technical schools will receive assured admission to UW-Milwaukee. The new effort is for those who complete their associate's degree at Waukesha County Tech College, Moraine Park Technical College, Gateway Technical College, or Milwaukee Area Technical College. Officials say they and now will have credits to transfer seamlessly to the UWM for their bachelor's degree. Those are some of the stories we're watching in our news center this morning with Stuart J. Waddles. We'll keep you on top of that and more news throughout the day here at WRJN Radio. David Mack is here. David's running for the 4th Aldermanic District. Oh, my days of being an announcer are coming to an end real quickly. 4th Aldermanic District, and he's our second candidate we're interviewing here. Let's talk about some of the things, and we'll get back to more of the bio later, but I want to get these in here. Services in Racine. How are we doing here in the 4th District?
Well, you know, we can always do better. Racine is a community with a lot of potential, and I've lived here all my life. I've chosen to move back to Racine when I took a job working for Racine County in 1990. My wife and I have lived on the north side for 34 years, raised our family here. We have our grandchildren here. And we could have moved at any time. There was nothing holding us to Racine. And you hear a lot of people that talk about, oh, I can't wait to leave Racine. There's nothing to do in Racine.
I love it here.
And I agree. I this is my community of choice. I love Racine. We have a lot of potential. You and I both live a couple blocks off the lake. We can hear in the morning the waves hitting the rocks, and we can hear the monkeys at the zoo.
I hear the lion roaring.
The lions roaring.
When I took walks with a dog in the morning, I hear these lions roaring out there. Yeah.
And so, you know, we have a lot of great things in this community. We have beautiful homes, our historic homes, our historic downtown, but yet we also have problems we need to address. We have issues out there. One is, I think the property tax burden is too high on the average family. We need to find a way that we can maintain adequate services while also not overburdening the property taxpayer with that. And so that's a huge challenge out there. One of the problems that we had this past year, last couple of years, is they've been balancing the budget with those COVID relief funds. And at some point, what they've done is they've created a structural deficit. So at some point, the city's either going to have to make major cuts, or they're going to have to come up with with revenue to replace those COVID funds. Either way, it's not going to be painless. And so what we need is we need leadership that's willing to make the tough decisions, to look at everything, to weigh the benefits versus the risks and whatnot. And I've been in that position. You know, we used to, I sat on the Community Development Block Grant Committee when I was an alderman. We would have, I'm exaggerating here, maybe $5 million in requests, but we only had $1 million worth of federal funds to be able to hand out to worthy organizations. And it was always a difficult process to look at all these community organizations and then try to determine what is the needs of the community right now and how do we best address that and what is the best use of those dollars. And we need aldermen with experience that are willing to make the tough decisions to set aside personal agendas and feelings and be able to look at it objectively. What are we trying to accomplish? What needs to be accomplished? And what's the best way to do that?
Lakeview Park is in your...
Yes, it is.
If you're elected, will be in your district there. And I know I've seen signs all over Main Street, let Lakeview Park be Lakeview Park. What's the story with Lakeview Park?
At some point, the mayor allowed a developer to work up a proposal to put housing on Lakeview Park. And when the neighbors, myself included, found out what was going on, we were in an uproar. I remember writing a letter to the editor saying, you know, we need to leave Lakeview Park alone. This is what we should do instead. For example, when I was on the zoo board and as an alderman, the community center wasn't adequately used. And I had proposed that the zoo take over the community center and they could maintain it and do the upgrades to it and use it as an educational center. This would allow the zoo to provide more programming and also to, when they do provide programming like that, they're able to charge for those programs, and it would allow them also to generate additional income or revenue, which they need in order to meet operating expenses. So unfortunately, that never got off the ground, and then we ended up having a fire there at Lakeview, and now the community center is gone. But it would have, excuse me, it would have made sense to have the zoo take that over because the city wasn't using the community center. It was sitting there empty. But it's a park that's in need of upgrades. It's a beautiful park with a beautiful view. What I'd like to see, I'd like to spearhead a drive that would create a community design park that's inclusive, that children with physical needs would be able to utilize it, just like able-bodied kids.
Now, this is right across from the zoo.
It's right across from the zoo.
A lot of people use the parking lot from Lakeview Park to park to go to the zoo.
And there's no parking lot because they paved or they sodded over the parking lot.
Oh, did they really?
When they tore down the community center.
You know what happened since my dog died? Since we had, my dog had to be put to sleep. I don't take the walks down there like I used to. But we used to walk all the way down there to the zoo. I used to say to the dog, if you're not nice, see that lion? Be careful, that lion may grab you.
We also have a beach right down there, Zoo Beach.
Right.
And that parking lot was used by people that were going to the beach.
It's sodded over now. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. Let's talk about the homeless. Because Dewey's closed down.
Right.
And from what I heard, I didn't speak to the owner personally, from the scuttlebutt I heard, that's one of the reasons, because there's a homeless center on his block. And I guess it was getting too crowded for them. And he decided he was going to retire and didn't want to deal with it anymore. So how's that? And also, when I go to the library, up on the steps by Memorial Hall, when I go up there, a lot of homeless people up there. Mm-hmm. And they're cursing. They're screaming. They don't scare me, but I notice some people are nervous with them because they're yelling at them.
Right.
They're just yelling at people going into the library. And there's nothing you really do about it. So how do we solve this problem?
We definitely have a problem downtown. There's a couple different issues. It's not a homeless center that is being operated out of the church, but they're providing meals during the day.
Right.
So homeless people are congregating, and they're causing issues for some of the downtown businesses. And one of the things that I don't know if people talk about it that much is, and I'm not stereotyping and I'm not typecasting, but a lot of times with the homeless population, there's mental health issues. That's part of the reason why they're homeless. And so we have Halo, which is doing a great job, but it's not large enough to accommodate the problem we have in Racine. We have the issue over with the old YMCA downtown, where it's being overrun by the homeless population. That is...
What's being done with that, by the way?
The city worked out something with the Y, and they're going to end up raising it, tearing it down, which is... It should have been done years ago. Somebody should have stepped in. The Y shouldn't have let it get to the point that it did, but it happened. And so that will move the problem where I'm not sure, but we need to be a little bit more strategic. Halo's the experts out there in dealing with the problem, and I don't know if having a feeding site right downtown, you know, in the middle of the business district is the right way to go.
I see some of the people who partake in that service. I see them on the corner because I pass by there a lot. I don't live far from there. But I never gave it much thought until I heard the problem with Dewey's. And then all of a sudden I said, wow, you're right. I never noticed it was much of a problem before, but it is a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to be a problem because there are people who are homeless. There are people, and again, I don't know their situations, but there are people with mental problems. And they've got to go somewhere.
Right.
You've got to have them somewhere. And they have to go where services are because a lot of these people can't fend for themselves. They have to partake in city services. So I don't know what the answer would be. You know, I know it's not what they're doing down in Texas, busing them all over the country. I know that's not the answer because you're just moving the problem.
Right.
You know, Texas is moving into somebody's neighborhood in Washington, D.C. So I know that's not the answer. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the big C. Crime.
All right.
And that's everywhere in America. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants it in their town. And I keep telling people, if there was a place in America where there was no crime, everybody would live there. And I got news for you. Crime would move there if there was nothing there. So we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. Real quickly here, just want to remind people, coping with a serious illness can be overwhelming. Where to turn for help? Fortunately, in our area, Hospice Alliance is known for their award-winning care covered by Medicare and many other community-based private insurance plans. When seeking hospice care, ask for Hospice Alliance, the award-winning community-based nonprofit that gives back through education, services, and grief support. To learn more, visit hospicealliance.org. That's hospicealliance.org. We're having a conversation with David Mack. He's running for the primary in the 4th Aldermanic District, which is what, February 20th?
I believe so.
February 20th, okay. The last time I said February 16th, I don't know why, because that's what was written down, and it wasn't. February 20th, it's a primary, 4 candidates running. David's the second one we're talking to. More with David Mack coming up in just a moment. It's 7:49 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio refreshed, a civic media station.
Is news, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
A psychological thriller that unravels into a clever, calculated mystery. Dial M for Murder.
Continues this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild.
Tony marries Margot for her money and is named heir of her estate. He creates the perfect crime by blackmailing an old acquaintance to murder her. When the would-be killer ends up dead by Margot's hand, Tony works to frame his wife as the plot weaves a tangled web full of deception and danger.
Call the box office at 633-4218 or visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Thanks to our fine sponsor, Chance Design Build. Trudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From the Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Trudy brings you on-the-ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
If we're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco,
with WRJN Radio. David Mack is here. He's going for the 4th Aldermanic District. He's in the primary. He's one of four candidates vying for that aldermanic job. They call them alders now. They don't call them aldermen or alder people.
An alder is a tree.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
I'm a traditionalist. It's an alderman.
Okay.
I'm running for alderman.
But I talk to people and say, oh, you mean an alder? I guess so. Let's talk about the Big C crime. This is something that you'll never get away from. There's no place in America to get away from it. And it's here. It's in Racine. I don't consider it a lot, but it's got its crime. What do we do about that? How do we? You can't stop it. Do we? And I don't want to defund the police. I think we should have more cops around.
Right.
So how do we handle this?
It's an age-old problem, and some of it's based on perception. Some of it's based on reality, and sometimes perception becomes reality. And if people think that you have a high crime problem, even if you can prove to them you don't, you know, in their mind, crime is a problem. And we had a big issue with the police department a year ago. We had a police chief who was from a different community who still spent a good amount of time in that community, and the morale at the police department was awful. You had cops jumping ship and joining the sheriff's department, and that didn't used to happen. It was the other way around. You know, deputies would leave the sheriff's department and go to the municipal police departments, but, you know, Racine County Sheriff's Office has benefited greatly by hiring, you know, former Racine police officers. And then the chief decided to retire. And they have a new chief in there. He is active in the community. The morale has changed over at the police department. And hopefully we're going to stop seeing that revolving door. Hopefully we're going to see more cooperation with outlying departments, task force and other things like that, working hopefully closer with the sheriff's department to address issues like the drug problem and gang problems within the community. And hopefully we retain our officers and we can build up our police force. I remember when I was on the council, and I had the former police chief spin her on the ropes because he was complaining that, you know, even though we gave him 199 officers, he wasn't filling them. And he had excuses why he wasn't filling them. And I looked at him and I said, chief, either you want those officers or you don't. And if you can't hire them, let's get them out of the budget. Now, I didn't want to cut police officers. That wasn't the intent. But it was putting, you know, putting his feet to the fire and saying, listen, we authorize this much, this police strength. You need to hire those officers. And same thing. Hopefully, we're seeing a turnaround in the police department with the morale, with everything else. We'll get up to full street strength. We'll start working cooperatively with the outlying departments on joint issues. And we can tackle and address issues like gang problems, the drug problems, and other issues out there.
In the last few minutes here, why don't you just talk to our listeners direct and ask for their vote?
Well, I would appreciate your vote. I have experienced leadership. I have 34 years of experience within this community. I worked and retired from Racine County, where I built a program that gained state and national recognition. I was honored at the White House for a program we implemented here. I've been active in the community on nonprofit boards and committees, commissions. And my wife and I have made this a community of choice, and we love Racine, and I've rolled up my sleeves in the past to do the heavy lifting, and I'm continuing to do that, and ready and willing to roll up my sleeves, tackle the issues that we have within the city. With experienced leadership, I'm going to hit the ground running, and I'm going to be able to adequately represent you and be your voice on the city council.
I always ask people, why would you want to get involved in this? Excuse me. Because half the people aren't going to like you, for no matter what reason. And how every time you go to a restaurant, but you've been to every restaurant I've ever seen, I believe. I believe you hold the Guinness record for being at every restaurant I've ever seen. Why would you want to put up with that? Being bothered in restaurants, being bothered in supermarkets, people coming up and say, you know, that pothole in front of my house, Dave, I think you should fix that pothole over there. And what about, there's traffic there on my street. I want you to fix that. They put a tree up. The tree fell down. I want it to be replaced. Why would you want to deal with this stuff?
You know, it really comes down to you can complain about the issues out there, or you can be part of the solution. And I'm involved with Leadership Racine, and we've instilled within our graduates, and I graduated from the first program, community trusteeship. And I want to build a community. I want to plant trees that I know I'll never sit under, but my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren will. And so it's about community service. It's about being a part of the solution, not being a part of the problem.
And, of course, the primary is February 20th.
Correct.
And there are four candidates out there. David Mack is one of them. And go vote. I mean, I always tell people, vote. I mean, if you don't vote, don't complain. Right?
Exactly. Jean Jacobson, who I worked for, she was county executive, said, the world is run by those who show up.
Well, that's good. I might tattoo that on my arm.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you, David Mack. You're a good friend, and also good luck on the in the primaries. It's 7:58 at WRJN Radio. Coming up tomorrow, we're back again. 6 o'clock. It never stops. So we'll see you then, okay? Civic Media Radio, Hometown Radio Refresh, WRJN. Earl Ingram, coming up next.
Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Yo.
your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.